This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, he careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown!
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. Patriots get a win 16-9 over the Oakland Raiders at Gillette Stadium. That's your final score, 16-9. Vince Wilfork securing the victory with a last-minute interception.
Pretty much the way we thought it would go.
I did not envision this game going the way that it did.
About what we expected out there.
This was a competitive game.
Raiders always give you a tough time when they come east.
This team has some problems.
Yes, I would agree. It was ugly. I expect we will get a lot of phone calls and emails from fans that are not happy. I think that will last long into the week, and I agree with it. This team has some major issues protecting the quarterback. Two of the last 3 weeks, Tom Brady, I think, got his ass whooped today and will be sore, if not hurt, this week based on some of the shots he took. They still can't get any cohesion in the passing game. I know most people will point to Brandon LaFell with another offensive pass interference for blocking early. I'm going to point to a play where, who was it, Paul? It was Edelman and I believe Kenbrell Tompkins running a backside rub in which they ran into each other and offended each other on the play. Couldn't run the ball the length of anything today. What else we got, Paul? Darrell Revis, who everybody else has been blowing for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Easy now.
Everybody else has been praising.
Do you have to use that word?
I have been underwhelmed through the first 2 weeks, and I was even more underwhelmed today. He almost gave up the game-winning touchdown, or game-tying potential touchdown, because his feet were all out of whack. I just haven't seen the dominant corner that I've expected to see. I think Aqib Talib was better last year than what we've seen from Darrell Revis through 3 weeks. Did I miss anything?
I know Andy alluded to it, but the issues protecting the passer are just glaring. And the first third down today, they came out and they threw the ball a couple of times. They ended up with a 3rd and 10, and they threw a bubble screen, I think. And it's a continuation of a little bit of a trend. When they get in a 3rd and long, it's almost a surrender. I'm going to run the ball. I'm going
to
throw
a bubble. Oh, was that the one to LaFell?
I'm going to throw a bubble screen. Yes, it was.
Oh, that's even better. The blocking tight end, the third blocking tight end, it's a bubble screen.
And I looked at Andy. I said, why do we not even try anymore? We just give up. On 3rd and long, we don't even compete. Well, the next two times that we had 3rd and long, Brady absolutely got killed. To which I'm saying, I think I just got my answer. I'm figuring out my answer as to why we do not compete on 3rd and long. And these pass protection issues are not going away. It's different personnel. It's different guys. Nate Solder today struggled badly.
Is 2 of 3 weeks.
He got beat badly by Justin Tuck. Got beat badly by rookie Khalil Mack. Brady is taking shots. You can see that they're starting to, the cumulative effect is starting to pile up. You can see the wear and tear.
The two most consistent players on offense are not going to make it through the year. Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, yeah. I guarantee, at the current rate, will not make it through the year.
And even today, I thought, although there was more production in terms of receptions from Edelman, I didn't see the same explosiveness from Edelman that I have seen through the first 2 weeks. I think, Andy's point, you're already starting to see that.
And how many times today, when he catches it, did two guys converge on him? You have two guys basically ready to hit him when he catches it. You know, one upends him when you're going for a touchdown, lands on his back, already has a back injury. But a lot of other plays, just taking hits.
The thing that stunned me today,
aside from the score,
I thought if there was going to be a competitive game, you would have gotten a really bad performance by the Patriots. Turnovers, another slew of penalties. What stunned me today is the Patriots never, for 1 minute today, were in control. And if you had told me that was going to happen, regardless of the outcome of the game, I would never have believed it. The Patriots were not in control of that game for 1 second. And I was stunned by that. Stunned.
But, Paul,
A win's a win.
2-1,
and
baby.
Wins are hard to come by. And that's
hashtag our time.
That cliche that Belichick likes to throw out there, I actually buy. Wins are not easy. I don't care how you win 12 games every year, I know, but it's not easy to do it. And you're 2-1, and a lot of other teams would like to be 2-1.
And some other teams that are 2-1, Buffalo, right? They're 2-1. They lost to the Chargers.
They were losing. Right? I don't know if it's over.
I mean, they're ecstatic to be 2-1. 2-1 is a good record. You're just an ugly 2-1 because you think you're better than that. And we'll find out later, maybe, as we play in the second hour, Tom Brady's post-game press conference, his tone. I know a lot of people ripped him last week for being upset. I got to think, if he can speak today, I'm not sure if ribs have punctured his larynx, but if he can speak
Buffalo's
today,
lose,
I think he'll be upset again because they're not a very good football team right now. If you played your, whatever that is, late November, early December schedule to open the year, you'd be taking it on the chin quite a bit.
I don't even think, despite the fact that they only surrendered 9 points, I didn't think they were particularly impressive defensively.
No, I didn't think they were. We're going to get to all of that. These are the initial thoughts. If you have thoughts of your own on today's game, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. We will be taking calls throughout the next 2 hours as we discuss today's win over the Oakland Raiders. 855-PATS-500. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address if you want to email your thoughts in. Or you can always tweet us as well. It's time to get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I was fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
Well, even with a win, it feels like for the second straight week, coming up with a lot of good things is not an easy thing to do after this win for the Patriots today. But if we were naming an official player of the game, I think we'd have to hand that to Julian Edelman for his performance today. I think he's the first guy you got to put in the good column.
Yeah, I would. First of all, I have one more initial thought. I thought this team was better than they are. this is three games. I'm sorry, you're three games in. Three games is not a hiccup in the NFL. You're almost a quarter of the way into the season. It's a trend. It's, you know, issues that need to be cleaned up. It's not just one little trap game. Do you have trap 3 week stretches before you start to play right?
Well, it's not like you can have a trap game in your home opener coming off of two sort of lackluster performances to start the season.
They start slow, they finish slow, they come out of the half slow. Maybe they're just slow, maybe they're just not that good. But I will get to the positive because we're all about the positive here at Patriots.com.
Yes.
And you're right, I'll start with Julian Edelman. Tough SOB, making plays, making catches, taking hits. I don't necessarily fault him for the incomplete pass. I mean, he's getting lit up right now, and he doesn't have the body to get lit up. It's not going to work. And you can go, because I don't know if we have too many more, so I'll give you
Dante Hightower. Right. Andy and I talked about Hightower a lot during the course of the game, and, you know, I just think that he looks so much more comfortable closer to the line of scrimmage. He talked all offseason about it. And, you know, a lot of guys say, you know, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm more comfortable. But, you know, clearly it was something that he talked about because he had already discussed it with the coaches or he wouldn't have been talking about it. And he's shown that he is more comfortable in that kind of setting. And I think two really good plays in coverage. As soon as a guy caught a ball, he buried him for, I think, a two-yard loss on one play and no gain on another. He's been active around the ball, even on a play he was isolated out wide on Darren McFadden, who's a pretty athletic running back. He got beat on the play, and he probably got away with pass interference, but he was very competitive on the play. Not something that you want. That's a matchup that if they could have just like called timeout and done it over, they probably would have changed that. And that might have had something to do with Collins' injury. Maybe he hasn't had a full load. He was coming in and out of the game today. I think Dante Hightower's a guy that has played well through 3 weeks, and he played well today.
And I would throw Chandler Jones in. I think Chandler Jones was solid today. A
couple of pass blocks today. Not much pressure, though.
No, not a lot of pressure, but, you know, I feel like we need more than two.
Well, getting back to Edelman, though, 10 catches in the game today.
Not a lot of yards, though. Right? I wasn't as impressed with Edelman today. I think the explosiveness just wasn't there today. Wasn't making guys missing as much as he usually does.
It's hard to make like three guys miss.
I was going to say, I mean, when you don't have much, you basically have him and Gronkowski to focus on in this offense. We've talked about it all week. We talked about it in the pregame. And those are the guys. And so, as you said, I think it was you, Andy, who just said, you know, every time he caught the ball, he's being hit.
He did. That's
almost
true.
Simultaneously by two different guys in coverage.
Taking a lot of big hits, too. Flipped up over a couple of times today.
We only got an hour 45 left. I think we should get to the bad.
Part of it is, Brady getting the ball out quick, which has become a necessity on this team.
For his life.
You've got to get rid of the ball fast in this offense because they cannot protect him. So why don't we just go ahead?
I was going to say, you seem to be trending into the bad already.
Right, that's what we're doing.
And that might explain why.
Steven Gostkowski was fine.
As we're trending into the bad, that might explain why, you know, the whole spreading the ball around thing. It's hard to spread it around when you don't have time to look around.
I just hope that we can now eliminate, after today's game and what we saw today, the whole Brady's locking in, Brady doesn't have trust in his guys. Brady doesn't have time. Brady doesn't have time to look at other guys.
Certainly not today.
He's got very little to no time to get rid of the football and stay upright and not get killed, which I think he did have happen to him in this game. So,
but he wasn't great either.
He wasn't great.
I mean, that first miss to Gronk early, wide open.
Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, Paul could have made that throw.
And I thought the throw that Gronk dropped in the end zone, the one that was tipped by Woodson, I thought was behind a little bit. I thought it was a little behind, and that allowed Woodson to get his hand on it. That throw should have been out in front of Gronk, used that catch radius instead of he was catching almost, you know, the backhand catch.
But, I mean, he had that early play where he didn't see the linebacker, which could have been a pick. He had
a lot of passes today hit Raiders first.
Could have been a pick. I mean, he got beat up. I give him a little bit of an out because he got his ass kicked.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I guess we've already trended into the bad.
We have absolutely trended into the bad. That's where we are.
No, seriously, Gostkowski wasn't bad.
No, he wasn't.
I got to give him credit.
We expect him to be good, though. It's kind of part of the problem.
I expect Brady to be good, too.
Yeah, I guess
so. If we're going to go based on who I expect to be good, right?
I'm just saying.
Give him credit for doing his damn job. He did his job.
We take him for granted. We shouldn't, but we do.
Right. Okay, now go to the bad.
All right, to the bad. We're on the bad.
Okay, the bad. I'm going to start with Nate Solder. Because Nate Solder nearly got Tom Brady killed, and I saw a lot of people, everybody, the back should be helping out here, too. I'm sorry. He's your first-round pick. He's going to make $8 million next year.
He's not playing
he's
like
your
it.
My franchise left tackle
shouldn't need help from
and
a back.
And by the way, my franchise left tackle, who's long, lean, a former tight end, athletic, and he's getting athletically dominated. Khalil Mack, I'm not sure he even grazed him with a fingernail. Then he gets beat on an inside move. I think it was Tuck that buried Brady. I'm sorry, Nate Solder. You're a nice guy, and I appreciate
love
that.
You.
You've tried to step up as a leader based on, you know, talking more when Mankin. You know what I'd like you to do? Shut your mouth and block. I'd be better with that.
Wow. No, strong.
No,
very
but
strong.
I'm all less for strong. You trying to advance as a leader off the field. I'd prefer you advance as a player.
Can't you do both?
That offensive line
I don't
is
think
an
they're
issue.
Related.
I thought Shane Vereen today was very pedestrian. He gets his carries in situations where they're not necessarily expected by the opposition. I don't think he really found a whole lot of running room. I don't think he hit the hole as well. And again, you see passes thrown in his direction that he didn't really look prepared. Now, he made a couple of nice plays on third downs that he caught short of the sticks and made guys miss with the Aaron Hernandez move, the cut back to the inside. So a couple of good plays. It wasn't all bad, but I've been a little underwhelmed by Vereen through the first couple of weeks. Andy brought up Revis off the top. I was a lot underwhelmed by Revis today.
How about Logan
so
Ryan?
So is everybody else, finally.
How about Logan Ryan?
Logan Ryan is what I thought he was.
Bad day. Bad day for Logan Ryan. I mean, he may have made up for it by not catching the ball and tipping it into Vince Wilfork's hands at the end of the game. But just a terrible game
yes.
for him today. It was bad start to finish for Logan Ryan this afternoon. Well, the rushing attack that Andy is so ready to promote and get going averaged 2.4 yards a carry today on the ground for the
Patriots.
Yeah,
we should throw
rushing.
More. Let's see if we can get Brady dead by week four.
I don't
not
know.
Five.
Let's throw more.
Good
running
idea.
Running is the way that the team is going to get themselves out of it.
I don't know if passing is the way to get the team out of it. Oh, I don't know. Maybe this week. Oh, we got Justin Houston and Tamba Ali. Let's throw more so we can get Brady killed.
My point
you
got to
throw to set up the
either.
Run. We don't want him to make it to week five. You know what? You'll be setting up the Jimmy Garoppolo era.
You can't do either of them right now.
Why can't you ever just say, you know what? They can't run the ball.
I'm wrong, I'll tell you.
They can't pass right now, and they can't run right now either.
Oh, I didn't say they're very good. Well. I would be running. Running plays don't end with Brady dead.
But then Brady's no use to you right now anyway if you can't throw the ball.
Yeah, but I'd rather he be a use at some point than dead.
I don't think he's going to be dead. I don't think he's going
to
be.
They're going to have to figure out how to run the ball more effectively than they have so far, because they're not creating any kind of diversion for the defense.
Not nearly enough.
This is kind of what I'm talking about, and I didn't think it would be this bad. I didn't think it would be this bad today. The running argument that I got in with Andy in the pregame show, I wasn't envisioning them not being able to average even 3 yards a carry, let alone the five that Oakland is allowing.
They didn't get to 200 yards, right?
Who?
The Patriots.
On the ground? Not even close.
Well, that's what
friend.
Oakland was allowing coming in. 200
not,
per
no,
game.
No, not even close. They had 76 yards on the ground today as a team. 76.
This close.
Yeah, you're only 120.
How many did they throw for? Like 230?
Passing yards today, 220. Excuse me. 234.
Wow.
Yeah. If I got that right.
And actually, that might have been what Brady threw
actually,
for, and that
yeah,
doesn't
no.
count the sacks and
yeah,
whatnot.
Counting all the other stuff in, 221 as a team. So there you go.
That's tough.
221 passing.
So you're looking at 300 yards of total offense against the Oakland Raiders at home in your home opener.
Bad
nothing
showing.
Pretty.
That ain't good.
Nothing
really
energetic except for Chandler Jones dancing.
It was not a good game. Not a good game. There's a lot of bad. A lot of bad from this game.
I thought the secondary, I thought consistently allowed Oakland receivers to get behind them today. Now, maybe that had something to do with the quarterback they were playing, and they just said, we're going to sit at the sticks, we're going to be over-aggressive, and we're going to take away first downs. And if they run by us, they run by us. He's not going to be able to consistently make us pay for it. But I thought Oakland must have run 5, 6, 7 fade-type routes that varied from fullback with Marcel Reese to running back with Darren McFadden to the wide receivers with Andre Holmes, former Patriot Andre Holmes, and guys like James Jones at the end of the game. Consistently, the white shirt was behind the blue shirt, and the throw was short. And they got away with every one of them until Ryan got a little overzealous at the end, angling him off to the side. I think it was it Jones? Or Holmes. I think it was Holmes at the end. And he angled him off to the sideline and got the ticky-tack pass interference call. I didn't like that call, but I understand why it was called. I just did the same thing with the one on Edelman in the first half. I don't like those calls. The secondary's got to get better. This is supposed to be a better secondary than this. There are too many guys that are open for my liking. For a guy playing his third career game to complete, what was the percentage was very high. He had a very good completion. I mean, I know he didn't rack up a ton of yardage, but too many third down completions, too many. I mean, even they had one, it was like 3rd and 17 or something to set up their field goal that made it 10-9. He threw a dart over the middle for a guy for like 15 yards that got him in field. That was a big catch.
62% of his passes.
That's too many for a guy making his third career start. And by the way, you know, the last one that gets picked off on him hits his receiver right in the chest. And that counts as an incomplete pass on him and an interception. So I'm at a loss. There's nothing really to be overly excited about. They didn't do anything really well today.
Gronk?
Did he look Matthew a little Slater. Better? Matthew Slater had a terrific tackle on a punt and a terrific heads-up play on a kick return to take the ball out to the 41-yard line when you're nursing a 10-9 lead. That was a big play.
So our players of the day?
Matthew Slater.
Slater.
Hightower.
Hightower and Gostkowski.
And Edelman. Those are our players of the day.
Wow.
I mean, short list. You know what? Let's open up the phone lines and see if anyone can add any sunshine to us, because I'm out.
What about the injuries? I got to say, I think Tom Brady got hurt in the fourth quarter.
I think so, too.
I think he did. At the very least,
he got the wind knocked the bleep out of him.
Yeah, because he got hit. He went to the turf. He got driven into the turf. He landed on the throwing shoulder, got up, leaned over.
Yes.
Slow to get up off the turf, went back to the huddle. Leaned over again on the next play, and they went to the sideline.
And made a horrific throw.
And I'm telling you, I think the guy got hurt in the fourth quarter. So that's something to keep an eye on here going forward.
That's huge, and that's going to get a lot of attention, I think, during the course of the week. But just to clarify, clerically, Silver Salinga hurt his foot early in the game.
Correct.
Did not return. That can't be good if it was that serious. Because they declared him out quickly. So I wonder if he even broke his foot or something really bad. The Hightower at one point.
Hightower looked like he got a little dinged up.
He did look like he was a little dinged up at that point.
Walked it off, played, but might have a little.
Anybody else leave the game? Not that I really know, and not that I can really recall.
I assume it's not injury related with Devy. I mean, that looked like just a flat personnel move where Brian Stewart came in at center, Conley went to guard.
Oh no, Devy was fine. Devy was on the field, and then they talked. He went over to talk to Googe. And then he came back in the huddle, and then they made that change. So
yeah,
that was something
was
that they had talked about,
related.
But it wasn't. I don't think it was health related.
They and did Conley's, a terrible job of it.
And
then.
Conley stayed in
because it made no sense to talk, then walk down the sideline, then run like
right.
They effed that up. On a day where they effed everything up, they couldn't even make a personnel change that looked smooth.
And Conley stayed in the game, so it wasn't because of Conley's injury from the previous week.
All right, let's get to some of your thoughts and your calls. 855.
That'll be good.
Pats 500, 855, Pats 500. Here we go. Let's start with Alex in Florida. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, girl? Not happy, are you? Not happy.
My rage and my disgust are relentless. I don't even think there are words to describe how I feel right now. I wanted to throw my television across the room. I can't even, like, I can't find the words.
So where is your anger focused right now?
My anger is focused, I don't know, I think on Gooch, because the thing that I see 3 games into the season is, can't run the ball, we can't throw the ball. Julian Edelman is going to be dead in 2 weeks. Brady is right behind him. What is this team going to look like with no Brady and no Edelman? Apparently the team consists of those two people. We can't defend the ball. We are making bad teams look good. And I keep saying the one thing that we were really good at is going in at the half and making adjustments. We're not making adjustments. It's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. We'll just keep trying, just keep trying, just keep trying. And that is not the way that we used to be. So I think my rage is on Gooch.
I have to agree that they can't run the ball and they can't protect the passer. That's a bad offensive line.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's all on him or what, but the Logan Mankins trade is looming huge.
But you also have to look at it and say, you know, some of the talent is the same talent. So coaching's got to be part of it.
But the best part of that talent was taken away.
So Solder sucks because he doesn't have...
I didn't say that. I didn't say it just because Mankins is gone. But the best player out of those five was taken out of the equation.
Well, was he? I don't know. All I heard is he had 11 sacks allowed.
And what did you think?
I thought he was good.
I know what we've heard, but what do you think?
I don't think he stunk, but I also don't think it's fair.
And I think that Marcus Cannon has stunk, and I think that Jordan Devey has stunk.
But does Cannon stink simply because, I mean, does Solder stink because Cannon's next to him?
Does Solder stink because
of that? Is he letting Khalil Mack beat him around the corner?
I'm not going to take Nate Solder off the hook for someone else's play.
Nate Solder has been bad for 2 weeks.
I'm telling you, and I made this comment to Andy in the middle of the game. There's been a lot of piles around Tom Brady that I've seen a 61 standing up over.
And
that's
he
Marcus
missed
Cannon
a,
for anybody
what
who
did he miss
know.
Early that I was ripping him for? There was a screen.
Screen.
Or something. He
missed
got
a buried.
Bad. Yeah.
Whiff.
Missed a
Sorry,
bad,
man.
Bad.
I think it was Vereen, minus
oh,
five.
Oh, yeah. I think he actually went over and apologized right after the play because it was such a bad block.
Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hi, Justin.
The disappointment is just
palpable. Kind of like Buffalo.
Raiders, what are we doing? Like, it's a 1-4 game against the worst team in the league. What are we doing?
Well, you did win.
Brady's going to be dead. Edelman's going to be dead. Brandon LaFell does not belong on the field. Why did you pay him? He sucks. He effing sucks.
Okay.
He's our worst wide receiver that's on the current roster. He sucks.
So you don't like Brandon LaFell, huh?
No, I really don't. No, and I'm not even from Carolina. I just know he sucks.
Okay,
Justin.
I
made some catches today.
He did have the...
I mean, he had his obligatory offensive
pass. I was
going to
say, he had his weekly penalty.
And by the way, earned that one again. Andy caught it right away. I was looking at a different guy. Andy goes, he just lowered him down with his shoulder.
I was going to say, the refs have been very good at catching those.
Well, because we don't make it... There was a play early in the first half.
When you decleat a guy, it's not hard to catch him.
Well, but Mark, if you watch the replay, right, he was trying to be pretty sneaky with it.
Oh, but he buried him.
But when a guy ends up flying through the air,
here's the thing. It's probably illegal to do what he did to the first guy that was on him, 27. He was like, what do you call it, a stock block, right, Andy?
A little bit of a stock block.
And Amendola did the same thing. Amendola showed you how to do that play in the first half without getting called for a penalty. He's blocking the guy as he's running for his route, clearly while the ball's still in the air. So you can get away with it. You don't have to de-cleat a guy. And that guy, I think it was 38, was the safety coming over. He just lowered his shoulder and knocked him on his butt. I mean, any ref is going to see that. When you make it that obvious, it's going to get called.
Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I've been better.
Well, we're not out money like you are.
Yeah, well, I guess I really must be spoiled as a Patriots fan when I don't enjoy wins anymore.
Well, because, you know, they're not all that enjoyable.
There was not a lot to enjoy about that one.
I don't think
you have to be spoiled to not like that one.
There's not too many places that would have enjoyed that victory. Too many teams that think they're playoff teams would not have enjoyed the way that came out.
I'll just tell you this. I, you know, I, the Jets didn't enjoy a similar kind of win over the Raiders on opening day, and the Jets dominated the Raiders on opening day, despite the fact that it was a similar score. I think it was 19-14. The Raiders didn't have anything in terms of offense that day. They completed all the passes, but for no yards, and the Jets were completely in control of the game. I think they held like a 2-1 time advantage. They were disappointed with that win, and they're the Jets. They suck. What do you think the Patriots are going to think of that?
Well, at least the Jets had tons of opportunities and had bad plays and turnovers, but I think the dynasty might be over. I mean, it felt like the 07 Super Bowl out there. Normally, I'd be very concerned with Brady being hurt. It doesn't matter if he's hurt or not. If you can't protect him and they're getting free shots at him all game, how are you ever going to win in the playoffs?
You're not. If you play like this, you may not make the playoffs, and you certainly will not win in the playoffs. But remember, as much as I say it's, you know, a long way in the NFL, three games, we are a long way from where this team theoretically should be or could be later in the year. I think we even a three-game stretch, we get caught up with how important that is. Think of how many times during the course of an NFL season you think, oh, that team's good, they're getting hot, or that team stinks, and then they're good. You know, you ride these roller coasters. We're just not used to it around here of three-game suck stretches.
We're not, but you know what, though, Andy? We kind of touched on this a little bit off the top. You're looking for something every week to say, all right, they got a little bit better doing this.
Penalties.
Have we really
did not have 15 penalties today?
Andy yelled at me today because I said, woohoo.
Check that out. See how many there are there. Go ahead. Was it a season low?
4 or 5, maybe.
Season low? We had 9.
Had to be a season low.
We had 15. We were averaging like 130 yards penalties per game.
6 for 59 today.
Cut it in half, baby. There is the positive.
I'm talking about actually doing things better, executing better.
Not exactly, you know, a
data. The yards.
Not exactly a data, like, say, hey, penalties were an issue today.
Yeah!
Better than 15 for 160.
Particularly when one of those set up a first and goal to tie the game at the end of the game.
But you didn't even like that call.
I thought it was ticky-tack. I said that earlier. But I understand what he called. He was angling off to the sideline, and you can't do that. So I understand why that was called.
Let's go out to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now. Joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline from the Patriots locker room after this win today over the Oakland Raiders is Nate Solder. He joins us now on the line. Hey, Nate, how are you? Thanks for the time and congrats on the win.
Oh, thanks. It was a great win. We're happy about it.
It's funny you lead off that way because we're taking phone calls and some fans don't feel great about the win. Is it as simple as it's hard to win in the NFL and no matter what the score, what you walk away and you say, you know what, we put one in the W column, let's move on to next week?
Nothing's ever simple. We got a lot of things to, you know, improve and work on and get better at. But there's a good team we just beat and we got to take it in stride.
Nate, obviously you guys wanted to run the ball today to come in. You know, Oakland had really been struggling stopping the run, but it never seemed like you guys really got it in gear today. Was there some things that Oakland maybe did differently, maybe just did better than they have been in the past? What was, how did you see things unfolding?
I don't think the pass has anything to do with it. I think they played some good ball today. We got some plays on them. They got some plays on us.
How do you think you guys have been handling? I think this is the third straight game where you've kind of mixed things up at some point during the game and the offensive line. Today we saw Stork come in late in the game and Devy come out and Conley move over. How have you guys handled that in terms of not always having the same five out there?
Well, those personnel decisions come down to the coaches, and that's not really a question that they asked me about, so I don't really have much to say on it. It seemed like when Stork came in, the plays calls were you know, the calls during the course of the play were called correctly and everything went smoothly.
Nate, what was your first impression? Khalil Mack is obviously a guy, a very high draft pick, coming out of Buffalo with some athleticism, and I know he beat you once for a sack. Just what were your first impressions of that young player for the Raiders?
Oh, I think that he's got a bright future in front of him. He plays hard. He's a physical guy. Got a lot of speed. I wish the best for him. I wish I would have played a little bit better today, though.
Nate, how do you guys feel as a unit, how good of a job you've done so far protecting Tom Brady?
We need to improve. We haven't done everything the way we want to do it, and we're going to continue to work hard to do that.
Do you feel like, just sort of backpedaling, jumping on that question a little bit, do you feel like it's been just one-on-one matchups that need to improve, or has there been any communication problems, maybe some assignment errors, or What do you think has been the biggest problem then?
What? One thing, really. There's been some communication errors at times, but then the communication has been great at other times. So I guess it's things that we know how to do, we just got to do them on a more consistent basis.
Nate, this isn't necessarily pertaining to this game, but it seems like through the first 3 weeks, we've seen you be a little bit more vocal in the locker room, talking to the media a little bit more often. Have you taken on more of a responsibility in that role with Logan Mankins leaving? And he was always kind of the spokesman for you guys, and I know Dan Conley's a captain, but have you felt anything in terms of taking on a little bit bigger role off the field?
Well, I think in some cases the media needs a story, so they go to the next guy, and I think that's just kind of fallen on my shoulders, and I'm happy for the responsibility. I'll do that for sure.
All right. Nate Solder joining us here on the Xbox One post-game show. Nate, congratulations on the win again, and thanks for the time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Nate.
Nate Solder joining us here after a win over the Oakland Raiders today.
Stand-up guy and always has been. And, Andy, I would say you hit the nail right on the head with the terms of why you're hearing more from him. People are looking for someone else to go to, and he's more than happy, as you said, to take it on. And he made no bones about it when Mark asked him how the pass protection has been. We got to get better. So that's why, you know, people, when people sometimes they look at us and they say, like, well, that's because he's one of your guys.
Well, that's
it's true. It's absolutely true. I like the guy. I do. I think he is a stand-up guy. He's very respectful. He understands that we're doing a job and it's not necessarily the same as what he's trying to do. At the same time, they got to get better.
And I think a guy like Solder,
he's got to get better.
Not Solder.
I mean, there's no question about it. You know, he's got to get
better. Yeah, I mean, I like Nate Solder a lot. I give him credit for feeling that he is a guy that needs to step up, understanding that you were a first-round pick, you're in your fourth year, you're going to make a lot of money next year, you're the left tackle. You know, it kind of comes with the job, even though I don't think he loves it. I don't think he's overly comfortable.
He doesn't love it.
But I think he also understands he's a pretty articulate, smart guy, and that he is more likely capable or willing to do it than, say, you know, even I would say, you know, Cannon, you know, a guy doesn't have any interest in talking to the media. Not that he would normally be the guy, but there are some guys, even Vollmer, you think of a guy who he speaks very well, but English is still his second language, and he's the right tackle in the second round pick. You're the left tackle in the first round pick. Sort of in the normal hierarchy of the line, Nate Solder's the guy. But I also don't think I thought we asked him the questions we had to ask. I don't think Nate Solder was fine today because he's a nice guy and he's talking to us and he stepped up.
Not at all. And I think Mark asked a question about pass protection. You asked him a question early on about the, you know, feeling great about the win. And I asked him about running the ball against a team that hasn't been able to stop the run. And they got 76 yards.
And I think he was honest in his assessment of Khalil Mack. I think he really thinks Khalil Mack's pretty good.
Well,
pretty quick and pretty athletic.
You don't want to say he's not going anywhere after he ran by you and almost ended the quarterback season.
The number here is, I almost did it again, Andy.
Can you not?
I almost did it again. I stopped myself. 855-PATS-500. That's the number. 855-PATS-500. Here on the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com. We're going to hear from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at some point in the next hour and a half.
Vince Wilfork went to the podium. I saw that.
He did.
Twitter.
Okay. Yes. So maybe we'll hear from Vince Wilfork as well. Curious to see what the quarterback's tone is today. See what he has to say. See how he's feeling after this game. Might be a while.
I think it's funny how you make fun of your co-host during the week for talking about that, but we're going to talk about it now.
No, I was still making fun of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was still mocking them.
Oh, I actually wanted to see what kind of mood he was in.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see what
he
has to say.
See if he could finish a sentence without going,
I'm looking for the actual content. His words, I'm going to analyze those, not the, did he sound like he was in a bad mood? I think he's mad at Darrell Revis.
Still breathe and talk.
Some of that crap.
All right.
So we'll see.
Out.
We'll see what Brady's status is after this one. We're going to continue with your thoughts on the phone lines, your emails, all of that coming up here on the Post Game Show presented by Xbox One.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
The reaction on the emails is very negative today. People are pissed.
As they should be.
Alex from Brazil writes in at webradio@patriots.com, nail-biter against Oakland?
Oh, come on!
What the hell?
Ridley, you guys are never satisfied.
Ridley used in short and goal? Soldier almost killing Brady. Revis stamping everybody's passport to Revis Resort Island. What the hell was this game? A joke? I take the win. It's nice to win the home opener. But seriously, what the hell? Looked like a Raiders against the Raiders game.
That's a great line.
Mark, Paul, and Big Head. I chatted during the pregame social. I wanted to see them play a full second half of solid football. Now I'm even more concerned Now I'll need to see a full 60 minutes. Thankful for the win, though. Mary.
They haven't come close to 60 minutes all year.
No.
They've played like a couple quarters of good football, and that's about it.
This emailer writes in, Danny Amendola needs to start going by the name The Invisible Man.
He is in the Globe today.
When Amendola is on the field, Brady can't see him. And when Brady finally does remember he exists, the player gets wiped off the record books due to penalties. Also, apparently all it takes for the Pats to show some heart is to be the recipients of a lucky bounce. Well, here's hoping our luck doesn't run out or this will be a long season. Robin from Alaska, also a part of the United States. I don't know if you knew that, Andy. Alaska in the U.S. Kurt writes in with his quick thoughts from today's game. Number one, Edelman is an absolute beast. It's amazing how everyone knows we are going to throw it to him, and we still do.
Oh, boy.
It's still the Raiders. Another week, another great day for him. Funny to think he's getting paid less than Amendola. Number two, Hightower played like a first-rounder who is a foundational piece to a defense. Need him to play consistently like this, but I really liked what I saw today and this season from him. Number three, the offensive line is terrible. We can't and won't go far this year if we don't start seeing improvement soon. Losing faith in Googe with every passing week. Love hearing you guys, and a win is a win no matter how ugly it is. Love the ending, though. Ha ha. Kurt.
Googe starting to take it on the chin. Our guy Ross Tucker tweeted out during the game, Patriots need to get Dante Scarnecchia back as soon as possible. So, I mean, that's not that he knows anymore because of it, but that's a guy who formerly was a Patriots offensive lineman saying the offensive line coach needs to go, essentially, right? I'm not saying it's a huge deal, but it's a little different than just us saying, boy, they should get Scar back. They were much better when Scar was
right
here.
I get what you're saying, but he also is a guy, briefly as it may have been, that may have a lot of affection for Dante because he played for him.
Sure.
You know, and that might be. Listen, I would say that Ross Tucker knows an awful lot more about offensive line play than the average guy watching the game that never played offensive line in the NFL. But I don't know. Are there things that they're doing differently up front that are causing these issues?
I don't know. I'm not really an offensive line expert.
I think they're just getting beaten.
Certainly
I think the
some
guys
that
are playing right now, and I say two specific guys, are not as good as the guys that were in those spots last year. And I don't know why, but the tackles haven't been as good as they were last year.
No, I mean,
Solder today was
today,
really
Paul.
Tough.
Oakland was just rushing four, and the Patriots had no answer for them. They rushed four guys, and there's pressure, and there's guys in Brady's face within split seconds. It just seems like...
There were about two or three plays all day, Beadle, that there was no pressure, and most of them, if you looked... It was plays that Oakland only rushed three. Right after the Brandon LaFell offensive pass interference set up a 3rd and 15, for some reason, after getting pressure on virtually every pass of the second half, Oakland rushed three, and then he ended up hitting Gronk for like 22 yards, which was the biggest play of the day, I think, in terms of yardage.
Yeah, it was.
22-yard pass to Gronk for a first down. And that was big because that allowed it to get to 16-9, and that touchdown at the end of the game would have only tied the game. That was a big play.
Let's go back to the phones, 855-PATS-500. Mike from Sodak up next. Hey, Mike.
Did I lose you guys?
No, you're here.
Nope.
Go ahead.
We're here.
All right. Say, I just wanted to make an admission. I watched Red Zone today, so I saw almost none of this game.
I see what you did there. I like
what
it.
What I did see, I'm sorry, pack up Amendola's lock. Pack it up. Get him out of here. When you're on the goal line, 3 feet ahead of a guy, and Brady puts it in your hands, you got to make that play.
I don't know if he put it in his
hands.
Brady
hand. Didn't
yeah,
put that ball in
the,
his hands.
I don't think the pass
was,
well
out of reach.
I thought it hit it right in his hand.
No. It hit off his fingertips.
Watch the replay again.
I'll watch it again tonight on Game Rewind when it comes out at midnight. So,
it was disappointing, though. It was certainly disappointing, that play, because it was there. It was within 6 inches of being there, and Brady put it a little too far out. Amendola couldn't get it.
I mean,
sort of probably symbolic of kind of what's going on right now.
It's a play that could have been made, but by no means do I put that on Amendola not making it.
And I saw Gronkowski said he's going to be, you know, pissed at himself all week for his drop on the deflected ball in the end zone,
right,
which, yes, it was deflected, but it also hit you in both hands.
By the way, the Game Rewind tape, I think it might already be up. They put them up really quick. I'm waiting for it to load here on my computer, but it might already be up for if you're looking to go back and relive some of this today.
Checking the tape?
Yeah, if you're going to check the tape, see if that's working. The connection here isn't terrific.
The eye in the sky never lies.
We'll see what happens here if I can get this thing working. Want to remind you, the Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 in a Microsoft store near you. And Andy, there's Microsoft stores all over the place.
I know.
There's one in Boston. There's one in Providence. There's one in Natick. There's one
Manchester,
up in Salem, New Hampshire, Burlington.
They're all over the place. I mean,
so go get yourself
one. You can get those
one.
Anywhere. Those.
You can, but if you're looking for a Microsoft store, that's where you can find one. There's a number of
Microsoft stores.
Area.
You can get them anywhere.
Those two? Anywhere? Thank
know.
You, Paul.
Where are they?
Thank you for that contribution.
Where are they?
Thank you for
where
the
Where are
contribution.
All the places you said
I just gave you all of them.
I want to see if you could come up with all of them again.
Boston, Providence.
I bet you there's one
Salem,
in
New
York
New
City.
Natick, Burlington. What else do you need, Paul?
I don't need any of
Peabody?
It, so I'm fine.
Brad's in Maine. I don't know if there's any in Maine, but I can check. Hey, Brad.
Hey, fellas.
What's up, Brad?
Well, that didn't exactly go as we planned, eh?
No.
No, that sucked, eh?
I'm looking forward to Chester on Tuesday.
I think you know, a couple positive things. Dante Hightower, and we won. Past that, I thought everybody played pretty poorly. I mean, I thought Revis had a bad game. I thought Brady had a bad game. I mean, Edelman had an okay game, but he's taking a beating once again. So, I mean, it wasn't great, but I think we're in for a lot of these games this year. I think we're gonna win a lot of ugly ones, and I think people aren't gonna be happy about it. But I guess as long as we're winning, I'm not gonna complain. But I think the one time our offense got clicking is when we started spreading the ball around. So, and, you know, I don't hang it up on Amendola. I just don't think that, you know, that pass for Brady was off, and I just don't know. I think that he has no time, like you guys said, to make a decision. And he's back there like a sitting duck getting killed. So, and I honestly worry that you guys might be right. This might be the Jimmy G show if this keeps up this way. So. That's all I got, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Brad. Thanks for the call. See, Brad said this, and I know others will say it as well. Oh, look, the offense was moving when they were spreading the ball around, like it was a choice to not spread it around earlier in this game.
Right.
Well, the offense
it's
didn't
not,
move today.
It's not a choice.
Yeah. Well, there were no times today that the offense was, quote, moving. There was they had a drive. I mentioned it to Andy in the middle of the drive, too, where they just seemed like they were just struggling to get every single inch, and it was third and four.
It was
you know,
a grind.
It was 2 yards on the ground, second and eight, you know, a 5 yard pass to set up third and two. Sometimes they got the third down, sometimes they didn't. Even when they got drives going, the only touchdown drive, I think, was the result of that pass interference on Edelman, which was a garbage call. I thought both the pass interferences were ticky tack at best. They never were moving the ball today. Never moving the ball effectively today.
More emails coming in. Rob from Florida writes, hey, guys, Bill the GM should be absolutely embarrassed in this offensive line. He is the chef, and he shops for the groceries. I don't think you could treat the most important player in team history any worse. This team is doomed, and the only guy to blame is Belichick the GM. At this time, I highly doubt a playoff berth is in the team's future.
Oh.
It's time for Robert Kraft to make a smart business decision and hire a GM. And it's also time to go to the fridge and get another beer. That's from Rob in Florida.
Good for you, Rob.
Way to enjoy.
A great call.
They'll never make the playoffs being in first place in week three.
They have a chance to be in last place, depending on what happens in these two games, just so you know.
Nick from Illinois writes in.
Who's going to be in first place? The two and one Patriots
two and
Bills
one Bills,
will be in
the
last
two
place?
And one, the 2-1 Patriots, 2-1 if the Dolphins and Jets both win, the Patriots would remain, by tiebreakers, in last place.
They'll be tied for first place.
Yeah, but they'd be in last.
You're an idiot.
Just saying.
Well, listen, even if
you just called them the first place, okay, Bills, they're only the best right. they can be. I mean, you just called them the first place, Pages. The best they can be is tied.
Andy, let's not act like they're running away with the division.
Right, that's my point.
That's the way you make it sound.
No. My point is, let's not act like they don't have a chance to make the playoffs.
No. Well, I mean, obviously
they're in first place
he's
in the division.
Who is that?
Yeah, come on.
That's stupid.
Is it Robin?
When you're in first place in the division, to say that at this rate,
don't hold that against
him. It's stupid.
He's emotional. He's been drinking. He's going to the refrigerator. Come on,
Andy, you tell me.
Andy, your attitude
you tell
today
me.
Sucks.
Don't try to go Tony Maserati on me.
Your attitude today is terrible.
Don't you try to bring your weekday problems
pre-game,
to my show.
Pre-game, it was terrible. Post-game, terrible again. You're being very
very mean.
Yeah, you can't hold that one
first
against
place
Rob.
Rob's been drinking. First place team will never make playoffs.
Nick from Illinois. That way. Listen to the email. Nick from Illinois writes in. Guys, I've done it. I've taken down the In Bill We Trust banner.
Oh.
It's time to adjust the expectations for this team. At the moment, it isn't even a playoff team.
No, first place
second
team.
Emailer in a row.
Have you been drinking? Because I don't have any excuse for you if you haven't been drinking.
And he writes, and I put the blame squarely on Bill. He's been able to make up for awful personnel decisions by good coaching, but now his coaching isn't that good. Oh. Revis, for example, was better last year coming off an ACL than he's showing right now this year. The defense actually had personnel, but the coaching stinks. The offense stinks. Time to bring this team into the current era. The dynasty appears over. Thanks, Nick from Illinois.
So that guy blamed Bill the coach. The other guy blamed Bill the GM for trading Mankins.
I think the Mankins trade is having an impact on that offensive line.
Well, yes. I mean, how could it not?
I think the number one thing wrong with the 2014 Patriots right now is the offensive line.
I guess you could argue that.
Let's go back out onto the phones. 855-PATS-500.
The bad part about that statement is,
yeah,
it's not a no-brainer argument. There's a lot of things that are in competition with that statement.
Let's go to Elvis in North Carolina. Hi, Elvis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, at this point, I guarantee you they're going to lose to the Bills. They don't get past the Buffalo Bills playing like this. They're not a physical team.
All right, but we don't play the Bills for a while.
How about the Chiefs?
3 weeks, maybe?
When they get past the Chiefs on Monday Night Football in Arrowhead.
I'll tell you who I don't want to see right now.
The Chiefs on Monday Night Football in Arrowhead?
2 weeks from now. The Bengals on Sunday Night Football.
You shouldn't want.
Oh, the Bengals is not even going to be close. I mean, come on. Bengals are a good team. But I'm telling you, like, mediocre physical teams are going to take over the Patriots. I guarantee it.
And you think the Bills are one of those? A mediocre physical team?
Mediocre physical team.
I think their defense can play physical.
I think I think they have some decent defensive linemen, but I wouldn't call them overly physical. But
I just think
can't stop the run. Yeah, I mean, that's just one thing that I look at.
They're not going to make the playoffs. There's just no way.
Three in a row, Andy, take it to the bank.
Three in a row, saying a first place team not going to make the playoffs.
Let this guy talk for a second. This is, as they said, the third guy in a row that says they're not going to make the playoffs. I would like to hear, give me the scenario in which they don't make the playoffs.
Elvis, tell us, how do they not make the playoffs?
Four-way tie for first.
Because they'll be about 8-8.
You really think this team's going to go 8-8 with this schedule?
I do, because you're talking about the Oakland Raiders. But
I know, and they play about four more of those.
At home, the Patriots were home. And, I mean, they took everything they could pull this out.
I agree with everything you're saying about today. I would say two things. One, they play plenty more teams that are like the Oakland Raiders. And two, they'll get better. They always do. They always improve as the season goes on. What you see in September is never what you see in November and December.
Well, I was just going to say, allow me to play devil's advocate on Elvis's behalf right now. If the team doesn't improve, Paul, and they look the rest of the way like they did today,
you're effed.
They're an 8-8 team. Right?
I still think they'll make the playoffs, even if that happens.
I agree with you.
I'm going to channel my inner Andy here.
At 8-8, I don't know that they're making the playoffs.
No, I don't think they'll go 8-8.
Okay, but
they're 2-1 playing terrible football.
Play along for a second, Paul. What I'm saying is,
because the teams in this league stink.
I believe they will improve. I believe they will not look the way they have in the first 3 weeks for all 16 games. But if someone was basing it saying, you know what, this is the team, this is how they're going to look every week, then I can understand why you're saying it's an 8-8 team. I think your logic is flawed, and I think you're wrong, but I think you can kind of see where what that angle is.
Right now, just based on what you saw today and what you saw, do you think there's a chance they lose this Monday night in Kansas City?
I would not rule it out.
I would say there's a chance that they lose.
I think the way they've played, you have to say in Kansas City, there's a chance they lose.
But I'm still holding out hope that it's, you know, that Arrowhead thing, Kansas City, if I'm saying that they're going to lose.
Does Greg Bedard still think they have 14 wins? We've got to check in with him and find out.
Have they rolled out of bed yet?
It's funny. That's the problem. They're still in bed. No, I think that's a funny point, though. Greg Bedard is saying 14 wins, and we've had three straight callers that are saying 8-8 at best, this is a non-playoff team. So that's a big gap.
In every season, wherever the 14, 12, 13 wins, at Miami in September is a concern. The game you lost is a concern.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not looking at Kansas City saying that was a game that I had 3 weeks ago was an absolute gimme. Right. I looked at that Monday night like, in Kansas
City.
No, but
City. Have you changed
I think Andy's hitting on something important here.
No, I think that's a game that can be lost.
No, but you thought they could lose because it's Monday night in Kansas City coming into the season, right?
Yeah.
Have you increased the chances of losing because of the way they've played?
No, but but to be fair to you, I probably would have had Kansas City not lost half its roster.
Right.
So the reason that I'm saying
including DeVito and the other guy, so you should run the ball this week.
I mean,
for 2.4 yards a carry.
To your point, absolutely.
No, we'll just let Ali and Houston get after Brady.
If Kansas City was full strength, I would probably feel like I have less faith going into this game than I would have 3 weeks ago.
And the rate of improvement is the obvious thing. Every Bill Belichick team is better late in the year than early in the year. It's a fact.
That to me,
the issue
until
is
until that doesn't happen, I'm going to assume
where'd you start from? That's the problem. Where'd you start from? If you start good and become great, you're a Super Bowl contender. If you start crappy and become decent, you're a Jag team. You're a nobody. You make the playoffs and then you bounce out, right?
If you're going to pick a time to be bad in your season, the time to do it is in September. That's the time. And I'll tell you what, you hit on something important.
Unless you played all your hard games before
the season started and you said in your
lose Edelman and Brady because you suck so much.
In your first three games, you were going to lose a game. Which one could it be? And you'd still be fine. It was Miami.
Oh, obviously.
It's an obvious one.
But I didn't think you'd come out and suck the next 2 weeks.
Well, if you would ask me which one of those three games I would have rather have lost, I wouldn't have picked Miami. I would have picked Minnesota.
Why is that? I'm talking about being realistic. If you had to predict, listen, they're going to drop the game. You're picking Miami.
Yeah, yeah, I would have said Miami.
No, I know what you mean.
Maybe that was the problem. It was humid, right?
It was humid.
That could have been we don't play well in the humidity. Out there. We had dark jerseys on. Bad call, Bill.
Didn't get the rain.
When we wear dark jerseys in the humidity.
All I can tell you is he better not have said anything about how, you know. The weather was uncharacteristically warm.
It was about what he expected. Always get a tough fight from the Raiders.
Let's go to Al. Al from Paramus. What's going on, Al?
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well.
It was a great win. That's the way I look at it. You know,
you drunk?
The Patriots go to the playoffs every year. So until I believe they're going to be there, until I see they're not going to go. I mean, why would anyone think they're not going to be there? You know, to me, the biggest problem is the O-line. And how could anyone think not trading Mankins isn't the biggest part of the problem with the O-line? You know, at least last year, Brady had, you know, he was thrown to Edelman, but he was, for the most part, protected.
Not really. He was sacked more than ever.
Well, more than what the first three games this year, how many times?
In terms of pure sacks, it's probably similar,
right.
But the pressure he's been under has been much more this year.
But he wasn't protected great last year.
But he wasn't protected
it was a major problem. Dante Scarnecchia talked about it extensively at the bye week, how it was such a problem.
Right, but I don't recall this early in the season him last year getting sacked and hit and hurried as many times as he has.
The hurried and hit is probably not as high, but I'll guarantee you the sacks were similar.
Sacks last year on Brady early in the year, game by game.
Right, but then you know.
Can you effort that?
When you talk about the defense, you do have to say the O-line is the biggest problem.
Yes.
Al, I'm 100% in agreement with that.
But as Paul said, the O-line is the worst problem, but there are other problems that are sort of nipping at the heels, you know, that are other factors in this team having not played all that great.
Right, but I like I said, I think if they can straighten out the O-line, and I think they will. I don't know how, but, you know, I believe Belichick will do that. And I think as soon as the O-line is protected, you know, they will be okay. As long as Brady, I mean, the hits he took today, it's hard to believe that he doesn't, you know, he's not going to be.
He's getting hit more, and I would say he's been under more pressure. But he was sacked 7 times in the first 3 weeks last year. And how many times did he get sacked today?
I think today twice officially.
So that's 7 times this year as well. Four, one, and two. But there's no question, Al. The offensive line is the number one issue right now with this football team, and he's getting hurried and hit. I think those are the two words you used more often than he did last year. But it was 3-1-3 last year, the first 3 weeks. So it's 7 last year, 7 this year.
You know, you guys mind if I ask you a question about Mallett?
Nope. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I like Mallett, okay? And I'm not sure why they got rid of him. I know they drafted Garoppolo, but with Mallett, I mean, he's got a strong arm. I know they say he wasn't accurate, but who did he have to throw to? It's like I really wanted them to keep him. And by the way, I think within a game or two, he's going to be starting for Houston.
Now, he might, because they don't have a quarterback.
Right, but do you guys agree with them trading him?
Yes. I thought he was terrible. I thought he was slow in his reads and very inaccurate. Now, I will say, I can remember one day in the training camp tent turning to and saying, you know, we always complain about who's Brady got to throw to. Think about how Ryan Mallett feels when he gets out
there. No, definitely
but
a legitimate issue.
You can still
issue,
be accurate with bad receivers.
He's not accurate, and he's not on time.
Right. Yeah, I have no problem with trading Ryan Mallett. And the start of Al's call is, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs, obviously. Well, yes, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think most first-place teams make the playoffs, as I take another jab at those people that think they're not. But it's not about making the playoffs. No one around here will deem it a success if you play wild card weekend and lose. Remember, we had a couple years where that was the sky is falling, it's over, the dynasty's dead. It's now assumed, because it's happened 3 years in a row, that you go to AFC title games. You know, you got Greg Bedard. This team rolls out of bed and wins 14 games. I listened to Mark Bertrand's 5 days a week boss, Mike Felger.
Not my boss.
Say that I believe what this team's a wagon.
Wagon.
Biggest joke in the history of jokes was the 10.5 in Vegas. Like,
yes.
Take the over. This team's a wagon. This is not quite 2007, but this team is just going to roll.
Close to it.
Well, 3 weeks in, you couldn't get any further from 2007 if you were in Jesus' birthday.
Huh. That's an interesting way to put it, Andy. Rob emailed back in.
Am I wrong?
Our buddy Rob.
2007. How did things work? Because I kind of remember games being like 35-0.
One game difference.
No. The look.
I knew that was going to get him in orbit.
But the games being played,
there's
you
no
couldn't
doubt.
Get much further.
There's no doubt. 38-14, 38-14. That's how they opened
ridiculous.
The 2007 season.
Re-goddamn
and then I think it was 38-7 in week
right.
three.
They scored 35 points by rolling out of bed, as Greg Bedard would put it. This team rolls out of bed and gets Brady killed.
That was the team that Greg Bedard thinks this team is.
Yeah, and they're not. Rob in Florida writes in, I got my beer. Andy, the Pats are in first place now, but they can get beat. Green Bay, Detroit, Indy, Denver, Chicago, even the Jets with this crap offensive line. Forgive me.
Losable.
Forgive me, I'm a drunk, sulking fan.
I want to play a game right now.
I agree.
I'm going to yell out losable when a game is losable.
Okay, I will let you guys battle it out. I'll just name off the games.
Yes, ready? Let's play.
Are we ready for this quick beer?
Go ahead.
All right. At Kansas
losable.
City. Monday night.
Losable.
I would agree. Cincinnati home.
Losable.
Night game. All right. At Buffalo.
Losable.
Not losable.
Losable.
Not losable. Doug Marrone.
I think at Buffalo is losable. Yeah. At Buffalo was losable last year.
Maybe
it's going to be losable this year.
It's always losable. They never lose it. It's not losable.
Okay. Follow that up with a Thursday night home game against the New York Jets.
Losable. Thursday night, short week, never know.
I don't
Although
think that's losable because the home
roll,
team
right?
always wins that
that's
game.
That's true.
So I'm going to say that one's not losable.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of change my opinion there. You make a good point, Andy.
So what do we got? 2-2, losable, not losable.
Warren Paul make that point.
I made it.
You had Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo all being losable, and then you had the Jets not losable or losable. I couldn't tell.
They're home,
but I kind of think it's losable.
Not okay. Losable for me.
I say not losable because the home team generally wins the Thursday night.
I'm reactionary, and I'm going to go losable.
Okay, Chicago
losable
home.
Oh,
I'm going to say.
They don't stay at the Renaissance, do they, with all these bars right there? Losable.
Not with that Chicago defense.
Losable.
I don't think is going to be able to do this today.
Not those
not
two receivers.
Not if Jay Cutler's smoking a pack of Marbreds that day.
He thinks he smokes. I just think he drinks.
Denver at home.
Losable.
Week. That's losable. At Indy after
losable.
A bye week, I think is losable. Home against Detroit.
Losable.
I think that game has become losable, and I wouldn't have called that. Start of the season, Detroit with a good
fans
win.
Fans are right. This team's not making a playoff.
A good, tough, physical win over Green Bay today. 19-7. Not the way Detroit usually wins games, throwing it up to Calvin Johnson. They did it with defense today. And by the way, had a similar game last week at Carolina. They lost, but similar kind of game where they didn't just throw it all over the place wild. Detroit might be a little better
than
I thought.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Where was that game today?
At Detroit today.
It was at Detroit today.
Yeah,
they kind of suck on the road.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But
here,
I think that game has a chance to be. I would have said 3 weeks ago, no chance. Detroit would not win a game against
the
Patriots.
Yeah, I'm really hesitant.
But Andy, what does
in
defense do, Andy?
Again.
So the Raiders.
Andy, what does defense do?
Travels.
Travels.
The Raiders can come across the country and give you the scare of your bleeping life with Derek Carr throwing to Dre Holmes and.
Dre. former Pat.
You don't think the Lions, with Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Reggie Bush, can, and that, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention Ndamukong Suh and that physical defensive front, they don't travel?
Andy, you make a good point.
Is this the year 2007 or the year 2014?
I expect the Patriots by that point in the season to be better than they are now.
Okay. Based on what?
We're going to follow up that Detroit game with a trip to Green Bay.
Losable.
We're going to
That game could be like this. The story of that game could be two underperforming Hall of Fame quarterbacks' offenses and everything.
Because Green Bay's offense has been terrible.
Yes, yeah, sucking.
San Diego.
Losable.
At San Diego after that game.
Losable.
And here's where we get a stretch where I think that they have games that aren't losable. Home against Miami the following week, I say that's not losable.
Not losable.
Miami cannot win here in December.
That's a win.
The following week, I think, at Jets.
Losable.
That's losable.
Don't try to sway me.
What do you think?
Supposed to be chiming in.
Yeah, at Jets, what day of the week is that? Just a regular Sunday game.
What day?
That's a flex schedule game, Beetle, listed as a 1 o'clock game
on
Sunday.
Is that a Wednesday game? Flex schedule portion of the season. Okay, and then what do you got? Finish up?
Then we finish out with Buffalo at home.
Not losable. Although, I don't know why I say that. The Oakland flippin' Raiders just came in here, and it was a losable ball
game. All right, Andy, so every game is losable, according to you. That's fine. We can accept that.
Because I once famously said it's easier to lose than it is to win.
I would say there were only about three games
that are winnable
out of those 13 that I think are not losable.
Before we did this project, Tony in Toronto emailed in. Tony says, playing like this, they will lose too. Cincy, Denver, Indy, Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, San Diego, the Jets possibly once, the Bills possibly once.
That's 10 losses.
If they lose 10 games, can you imagine that?
6-10.
He has them already losing 9 games.
He says this team could realistically be 8-8 or 7-9. It pains me to say it, and I don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction, but after 3 weeks of similarly bad play, I'm not so sure it's really that knee-jerk.
Similarly.
You know, the worst part of that for the NFL when the 7-9 Patriots make the playoffs.
I have something for you, Andy. One of your, random sort of either-or kind of things. Let's say that they get it straightened out, but not necessarily fixed. They're a flawed team and not necessarily built for the long haul, but they get it straightened out. They are a solid 10-6, 11-5. They win the AFC East because no one in the division has a pulse. Sorry, the guy from Tennessee that says that they do. Would you rather that or these doomsday scenarios of 8-8, 7-9, just sort of bottom out and get the red flag waving and say, this team needs better personnel?
No. I'd rather make the playoffs. I'd rather make the playoffs, give myself a chance. Yeah, I'd never take losing over winning.
Yeah, I don't think most people would.
We did bring
so
up
you'd rather go. You'd rather be one and done and lose wild card weekend than not make the playoffs.
Because I got a chance to not be one and done. I get no chance if I don't make the playoffs.
No, but I'm telling you.
And by the way, your other
so you don't have a chance to not be one and done.
I'm telling you, you're going to be one and done.
No, but in my hypothetical, you don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Because obviously, we'd all take that.
But I don't like the other scenario. I didn't get Andrew Luck in this scenario. I didn't go 0-16 and get Andrew Luck. I'm 7-9 and picking in the middle of the draft. Nate Solder with the 17th pick.
It's not just the draft, though. It's to me, it's this.
Yeah, because Bill's going to change. You're right. Bill will change. He always changes.
A reset of sorts.
You don't think that he would look at it and say, I can't do it that
way.
You're
right. He might redo the wide receiver position because that's worked out well.
He doesn't need to not make the playoffs to see that this team has problems
right.
that need fixing.
Is he
That's
blind?
How I feel about it.
But I think he might keep looking at it and saying, I could do it this way and I could still be a contender.
You think he's happy today?
Do I think he's happy today?
Or do you think he knows his team has played like absolute dog doo-doo for 3 weeks?
I don't think he's happy today.
Okay. So he knows something needs to be fixed. He doesn't need to not make the playoffs. But he can make the playoffs and still
If they play like they did today, every week for the next 13 weeks, what do you think their record will be in those 13 games?
Oh, not good.
Wait a minute. I posed that to you earlier. I said that exact same thing that I was trying to give you the idea based on the email, the 8-8.
I didn't hear that. Did you hear that?
If they played like they did today and there was no improvement.
They're not going to be good. They're going to lose a lot
right.
of games.
Exactly.
I think there's a chance you're going 2-11 in the 13 games if you play like you did today.
I don't think it's that extreme, but I think you're bad. I think you're sub 500, and the only way you make the playoffs is if it's one of the worst debacles for this division in history.
855-PATS-500, the phone number, webradio@patriots.com, the email. Xbox One, not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $399 at a Microsoft Store near you. This is the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One here on Patriots.com. We're going to hear from
Tom Brady.
We're going to hear from Bill Belichick, and we will hear from
P-Town.
Vince Wilfork. All of that coming up next. Go nowhere.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com. Patriots winners over the Raiders here at Gillette Stadium today, 16-9. We're coming to you from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. The phone number for you, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. We talked just the last segment about Bill Belichick probably not being happy with where his team is through the first 3 weeks of this 2014 season.
First place.
As Andy would tell you, it's first place. But here's what the head coach of the Patriots had to say at the podium just a short time ago.
Kind of a grinded out game for us. And I thought the players did a good job of making the plays we had to make here at the end of the game. Good situational football. Did a pretty good job of handling. Defensively, anytime you can keep a team out of the end zone, you got to feel good about that. Had some good plays in the kicking game. Thought Slater's kickoff return was, really a heads-up play. They were trying to, pin us down there on that mortar kick, and had a couple good coverage plays. And, offensively, we were able to score enough points, missed some opportunities down in the red zone, which we got to convert more of those. But, all in all, thought, it's a hard-fought game, like most of them are in this league. And I think our players hung in there, and like I said, kind of grounded out. So good to be 2-1.
How do you feel where the offense is at right now, and especially some of the struggles down in the red zone?
Yeah, so we got to do a better job in the red area. No doubt. Yeah, we had our opportunities down there. Only had one touchdown. Had a couple other chances that we, didn't capitalize on.
What went into the decision to put Stork in at center and take Devy out of the game, I guess?
I always felt like we kind of need to do that at that point.
Are you concerned with where the offensive line is after three games?
I think if we're a little banged up, then I could be concerned. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where everybody is this week.
In terms of getting banged up, Tommy took some big hits today. Obviously, that's going to be a concern.
Well, offensively, there's a lot of things we could do better. So, got a long week. Got a little extra opportunity to work on some things, and so hopefully we'll be able to improve this week.
Bill, to go back to the offensive line, is that a place where until you know exactly what you're going to get on a consistent basis, it makes it difficult for play calling, scheming, the rest of the offense to work in the same level of consistency?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to do what we think's best every week, so I don't see where that would be any different this week or any other week at any position.
Entering the week, I remember Josh, and Jeff yourself said getting away from penalties is a point of emphasis this week. And
that was one of the best things we did today. Was we had fewer penalties in all three phases of the game, and I was certainly a positive. We need to play more that way. Wasn't perfect, but that was an improvement in all three areas.
Well, no sacks today, but how do you feel like the defense got after the quarterback?
Well, this isn't a team that's been sacked a lot. They have a lot of quick throws and they get the ball up pretty quick. I mean, I think the big thing defensively is, we gave up 9 points. I mean, that's really what it's about. I think that's the most important stat. The rest of those stats really are, you can do whatever you want with it. It don't really mean much. Points is what this game's about. On both sides of the ball.
Bill, can you talk about Logan Ryan, the pass interference called on him late, then comes back in the very next play or next couple plays and causes the interception that Vince had, and how he keeps his
mind. We'll have to take a look at the DPI call. I'm not sure about that one, but we'll have to take a look at that one. But yeah, Logan Pete's hard. You know, he's played well for us. You know, this year and last year when he's had, you know, when he's had the opportunity, he's tackled well, competes hard. You know, tough kid, made some big plays for us. So he always does that. Well, I had a good look at it. I'll just say I don't know about that one.
Bill, Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones played pretty big games today in defense. Talk about that.
You know, those guys have had good camps, good, you know, gotten off to a good start this year, and they both make a lot of good plays for us. Good players. You know, do a good job in the running game and the passing game. They've been asked to do different things, you know. Chandler's been in coverage some. So obviously, he's, you know, a good pass rusher. Made a couple of good plays in the running game, tackles for loss. You know, Hightower, same thing, rush, cover, play the run. So they're versatile players, and they give us a lot of flexibility on defense, and they can do different things. They can do them well. So, you know, we had just, you know, huge games from them.
Coach, Brady was looking visibly frustrated out there at times. Do you think that's frustration with himself for not making the throws, or is his receivers not hitting the routes and making the adjustments they need to?
You'd have to ask Tom what he was thinking.
Were you pleased with the way you were able to run the ball today?
I thought it was inconsistent. You know, we had some negative runs, which created long yardage situations. So, I mean, overall, no, I think we could do just really pretty much everything better offensively. I know we need to work harder and be more consistent in the running game and the passing game all the way around. Everything. Blocking, throwing, catching, running, run reads, routes, distribution, you name it. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. That's head coach Bill Belichick after the win. We'll hear from Tom Brady coming up as well. See what the quarterback had to say.
Glad he agrees with Andy that one of the good things today was he cleaned up the penalties in all three phases.
Yeah, you guys are both.
Andy nailed that one.
Come up with that one.
I bet you he's happy to be in first place.
Good job, Andy.
They went from 15 to 6. I bet you he's not nearly as happy about it as you are.
You know, because he probably figures you can never.
Did the 2008 Patriots finish in first place?
2008 Patriots finish in first place.
They didn't make the playoffs in 2008, Andy.
No,
but they had the same record as the team that was in first place.
Right.
They weren't in first place, though.
Right.
Much like now.
So you think, what?
Much like now.
Tiebreakers don't come into effect in week three, you dink.
You just keep, like, eliminating all the other teams.
Yeah, I'm sorry. God forbid you bitch slapped a caller who said, you know, the AFC is not as bad as you say it is, Paul Perillo.
I didn't bitch slap. And now you're saying
this tough competition
in
the AFC East will never beat them out for the first place. We're already in first place.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's any chance they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't.
Except for the fact that you have 11 of the next 13 games as losable.
Al from Austin.
Losable, not losses. There's a difference there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the normal percentage of games you lose that are losable?
I don't know.
For a team like the Patriots?
No.
I would say maybe 25%.
What does that mean, a team like the Patriots? A team like the Patriots that used to be good? Or the team like the Patriots that through 3 weeks is not a good team?
So I can't make up my mind, Beadle. Is it
you
first
keep
place
using
Patriots
history.
Or is it a team that's not good?
I'm going with the facts. The facts are they're in first place. History tells you should pass more because you used to be good when you had Moss, Welker, and Gronk and Hernandez. And now you're using history.
Now you can't run, so let's run more.
You can't pass either, just so you know.
Okay, but if you can't figure out how to get that solved, you can't be a good team.
Why? Everybody tells me they're going to have a top five defense.
So, okay, so were they
so
a good
then you're
team
not
today?
Dealing in facts.
No.
You're just dealing
no.
in what
all
people
right.
have said.
So that's all we're saying, Andy. We're not
they
trying
not
to split we're not
today.
Trying to split the atom.
But I don't
playing that kind of style, you're not going to be a good team.
Oh, see,
you
I
might be
I
able to win. You
that.
Might be able to win
I
games.
I think you can run, play defense and win Super Bowls.
But they don't have the personnel to be a great running team in
they
my
don't
opinion.
They have the personnel to be a great passing team.
Okay, but if you don't but you do have the personnel to do that. You
oh,
have,
I don't agree.
You have three guys that are exceptional in the passing game.
Right.
That's three more than you have.
Jordan, Devy, and Dan Conley.
You have Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Julian Edelman that I think are very good in the passing
you know,
game.
Andy, I don't know if anyone's
you do
ever
not
told
have
this.
Three guys that are exceptional in the running game.
But you're an a-hole, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And you know
to.
What happens? He always makes fun of me because I'll try to like embarrass Fred or trick Fred. You know what he tries to do? He just tries to browbeat you into thinking that everything you say is wrong.
Let's not listen to him. Al from Austin writes in, why do you think the Patriots...
It's a show. We have to listen to him.
Yeah, occasionally.
This is how they treat you on the show. They don't want to listen to you.
Well, then they say...
Because you go counter. Yeah. You swim upstream against their...
Bad attitude. Bad attitude.
Their propaganda.
Attitude sucks lemons, Beetle.
Seriously.
Love you like a brother, but...
I thought the idea of these shows was to embrace all opinions and kind of discuss them.
Yeah, but you take trolling to a whole new level.
No, I
you
don't.
Absolutely do.
No, I truly you, believe Paul. There is a problem right
there's,
now.
There's disagreeing, and then there's just being full, but completely full of crap no, just to get
in,
a rise out of
in
it.
In all seriousness, I truly believe there is a problem right now with the perception and the reality of the New England Patriots. Perception
that's okay.
Tom Brady's still the best quarterback in the league.
On that
Gronk
point,
is still the best tight end in the league. We can have this great passing game. We can do this. We can do that.
So is Brady not very good?
Right now he's not.
Okay. But when we talked
right now, he is
but
not.
When we talked about him not
do I
playing
think he's
very
done?
Well,
probably not. I think the
no,
pressure
I, no, no
and the receivers are probably a
done.
Major
he's
issue.
Done
right. That's and that's an example of where you go. Like when he's
no,
not
that's
playing
where
very
you go.
No,
well,
he's not
Andy
done.
Will tell us 5 years after he's done that he's done.
That's what you said. That's not what I said.
I never said.
That's what Andy said.
I wrote it.
And then you wrote a commentary
the
about it.
The opinions we spew in the commentaries in Patriots Football Weekly are not necessarily those of the person
but
who writes
But I would
them.
Agree with you on the perception thing, because I do think that we all feel like it's all going to magically get better.
I think Bedard.
And I think am
this
guilty
team rolls
of that.
Out of bed and wins 14 games. That's like a perception thing.
But
if you watch the first 3 weeks, they're nothing
yeah,
like
but he
those
said that
teams.
In his defense. He said that before the game started.
I understand
I don't
that.
Think that he would agree with that
he
now,
also,
other than
well,
to just be stubborn with Beadle.
Right.
Because he
well,
yelled
I offered him an opportunity to amend or update. And he said, "I still think they're right there.
Right,
12-4 as a baseline.
Okay, but
as
that's
a baseline.
But that's different than 14-2 rolling out of bed. 14-2 rolling out of bed means 14-2 is your baseline.
Right,
rolling out of bed. They don't even right. have to play exceptional football. They're going 14.
You get
two.
A bounce. You're going 15-1.
Yeah,
that's what that means. Right.
And as Fred Kirsch would say, nah." 15-1, tough schedule.
Right now,
that's
I think
what he,
you
well,
need
that's
a
what he said
you,
one year.
Would you make the prediction right now on the Patriots that they are going to be in the Super Bowl, if not win the Super Bowl?
I would.
Would
not,
I?
I would
no.
not make that
right.
Declaration
that was the prediction.
How in the hell
the
could
season.
You do that?
Right.
But,
exactly.
But again,
so have to
based
imagine.
On anything other than they've been to 3 straight AFC title games, and you know Belichick's teams are always better later, and whatever other stat I can pull out of the press release that's irrelevant to this football team, this season, and this talent.
Oh, nice touchdown catch by Seattle.
No one can see it, Paul.
All I said was a nice touchdown catch by Seattle.
You're not the best play-by-play.
Play
didn't need
play
to
there,
say.
Paul,
you could have given
lot.
Me the receiver.
Let me read this quick email from Alan Austin.
Lockett.
Alan Darnell? Austin writes, why do you think the Patriots are that much better than the rest of the AFC East? From what I've seen and watching, I don't see it that way. The Patriots downright stink right now.
See, I would agree that what we've seen from the Patriots has been underwhelming. But I'm watching the other teams in the AFC East. I'm watching an A get laid at home by Buffalo today. San Diego's a good team. I'm not saying that they're not a good team, but they didn't really put up much of a resistance.
Resist home.
Maybe the Jets are a little bit better than I thought. You know, the Jets did a better job of controlling this team that the Patriots saw today in the opener, and then they went to Lambeau Field and had every opportunity to win that game. So maybe the Jets are a little bit better. Miami, I mean, I think you're seeing why I think Miami is not very good. They followed up their win against the Patriots with an embarrassing loss to Buffalo, and now they're getting shut out late in the first half against Kansas City at home. You know, Kansas City, who lost how many starters on defense, Andy? At least 4 or 5?
Yeah, something like that.
So I just don't think it's not necessarily I think the Patriots are so much better than everybody. I think the rest of the division is so much worse than the Patriots.
Phil in Phoenix with a specific second guess. Second guess. He writes, obviously not a good game in any area, particularly in the red zone.
Penalties.
But one of the biggest questions I have is why the hell are they running Vereen on the goal line? I'm not a Ridley fan, but he's a far better goal line runner. Thanks, guys.
He absolutely is.
Paul actually said mid-game, he stinks as a running backer. He's so overrated as a. What did you say exactly?
He is. He's
he
not
ran
a,
right into the ground.
He ran right into the ground on that play. And here's the thing, and I said this. This is one of those things you get attacked when you say it after he runs first and goal and he gets nothing on that play. Well, opening day against Miami, he got 2 carries on goal-to-goal inside the 5. One, he got stuffed. The next one, he made a nice run for a touchdown. And I said, I don't like that. I don't like Vereen as a goal line back because I think the best skill that Stephen Ridley has is a goal line runner. Why wouldn't you use him?
Right.
I think Ridley might have gotten in if you had given him the ball down there. But Vereen, you're right, for Andy. What did he do? Right into the ground.
He did. Like he lost his balance and ran right
down. You have to open a huge hole for Shane Vereen to get through it.
I have cut ties with Shane Vereen officially.
Yeah, Andy's really upset with Shane Vereen.
I really have. No, well, I used to think he was so talented and you know, once the injuries are gone, it'll be this. And once that is gone, once he gets a chance, once Woodhead is gone, I thought, oh, now they won't be using Wood.
Once James White is inactive.
Like, whatever excuse I tried to make, I'm sorry, Shane, I got to cut bait with you. Even, you know, early in the game, that pass that was a little behind him and maybe a little quicker than he thought, I don't know. He's a thorough disappointment.
I think he's a tease, is what he is. He's a tease.
Could be. He's a talent.
He has. I mean, he made some nice plays in this game today.
Yes,
he had at least two catches that I can think of, short of the sticks, that he made guys miss and got key first downs. Listen, every first down they got today was key. The way that game unfolded.
Listen,
he has to make fun of absolutely everything you say.
855.
I try to have a little fun. Sorry.
855. Pat 500 is the phone number.
At everybody's expense.
I'm going back to the phone. Lars from Sweden is up next.
Oh, Jorgen.
Lars, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good. Are you... Wait, what time is it? It's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's got to be...
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
But pretty soon, yeah.
Are you pissed off?
No, why should I be pissed off? We won.
Okay.
All right.
That's a positive
what
attitude.
What else you got?
You got a first-place team?
I will say this is... of course, I have a few nitpicks, but I believe that... The major issue is really more the aerial game, and I think there are too many receivers outside of Edelman, of course, who really don't know their plays, their routes. And that, for me, is quite alarming. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little disappointed by Dobson because he's really ailing with that injuries for a long time. And when you see Dominic Kesley, I think he had two knee surgeries.
Yes.
Well, he's playing right now. He's playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of guys with, I mean, I don't think it's fair to compare injuries and recovery rates and that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Easley had surgery for a knee last September.
Right.
Dobson had surgery on his foot in, like, May. So there's a big gap there in terms of rehab time.
And we're also assuming he's hurt.
But I'm disappointed that Dobson's not playing.
We're also assuming he's hurt.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm assuming that's one of the reasons, but I'm disappointed that he's not playing. Because I think that he is the one guy out of those complimentary type receivers that I think has some upside. Maybe I'm wrong on him. I mean, Andy said he's cutting ties with Vereen. Maybe it's time to cut ties with Dobson,
too. No, you've got to go a little longer. I'm in year four with Vereen.
Yeah, you can't cut ties with Dobson. What are you, nuts? Come on.
Well,
you can't cut ties yet.
Can I just say, my ceiling...
Sounds like he wants to.
My ceiling with Dobson is not that high.
What's Brandon LaFell been doing for this team?
Little. Very little.
Little to none. Like, I don't know. I think that here's what happened.
What's the ceiling, do you think, for Dobson?
Hard to describe.
I think he can be a guy who can occasionally make a play on the outside. I don't think he's going to be this 80-90 catch guy on the outside. I don't think he has that consistency.
But I think he could be a 60-catch guy.
Can he be
every
David
year.
Givens?
I think he can be a 60-catch player.
I don't think so.
Because David Givens never put up big numbers.
Because I don't think he can consistently enough do it. David Givens always came through on those third downs. And another fumble for the Broncos in Seattle.
Thanks, Paul. No one can see that.
That's tough. What, do they have to see it? I'm telling them what happened.
Well, it'd be better if, you know, Julius Thomas fumbled when he got hit by so-and-so. You're a terrible play-by-play.
Demaryius Thomas got...
Whatever.
Now, who did he get hit by? About a 20-yard completion. Earl Thomas is...
Did he catch that? I don't think he completed.
I don't know
catch.
If that was a football play.
Yeah, that's in the ready.
It's probably going to get overturned.
Yeah, that's.
This is automatically reviewed on a turnover, correct?
Correct.
Yes, it is. Let's go to another call before we hear from Tom Speed? Brady. We go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Well, you tell me. They're in first place, but everybody else seems to think they won't make the playoffs.
And we've had differing opinions. Guys, it's a good win or a bad win.
Stop, please. We're 2-1. Did we win the game? We won the game.
Yes. Did you beat a terrible team?
The Patriots won the game, yes.
Did you beat a terrible team?
Okay.
The what?
You know, I agree 100% the offensive line has to get better. Okay.
Well, that's,
defensively?
That's big of you to admit.
Defensively, they have to get better, too.
9 points.
Yeah, I got news for you. You got to get better defensively, too. You're not going to play a rookie. You're not going to play a rookie quarterback every week
with no receivers.
You gave up 15 points in the last two games.
Yeah, I know, and you haven't played an NFL offense the last two games either.
Dave, let me ask you this. What did the Patriots do well today?
You play who you play.
Yeah, I know. Okay. And if you play good teams, you're going to get beat.
You know, I mean...
That's why people are upset.
We have a season to go. going to go and steamroll every team we play.
Or any.
Sorry, Dave. Your phone.
Your phone didn't.
So we had a stretch. We had a stretch of about three or four callers that were 8-8, no playoffs, and now we had a stretch of three or four callers in a row. Bottom line is they won the game, and everything is awesome. I think you're whistling past the graveyard with the defense. If you think 15 points the last two games, and that's the bottom line. They have not played as well defensively as 16 points allowed would indicate.
By the way, Aqib Talib not exactly lighting it up today either.
What happened to Aqib Talib?
Well, he gave up a touchdown, and he gave up that other long completion.
Well, so I would say this yards. Is a good time to read this email. Allison in Chicago writes in, I miss Talib. Talib has the kind of attitude and intensity that our secondary is seriously lacking. The secondary has started every game flat-footed. They don't seem to wake up until the guys up front start making some plays. Also, they should sit Amendola. He only gets open when another player holds or sets a pick. Love the show. Thanks for giving us hours of great analysis on the pre- and post-game shows and on PFW in progress during the week. That's from Allison.
That's for us, you know.
She misses Talib.
Do you think
I miss Talib too, but he's not having a great game.
Do you think the fact that Amendola has been the guy who caught the ball on all three of those pick plays is a coincidence? Or do you think they feel like they need to run those plays for him to get open?
Probably both, right?
Probably coincidence.
I mean, that's sort of part of that role, isn't it? Like, of a slot receiver, a guy that, I mean, he's not going to get open solely on his own. He's not going to make plays down the field. You catch a lot of balls short, and anytime you catch a lot of short balls,
there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, they're creating opportunities through traffic, picks, rubs, whatever you want to call it.
And absolutely, I think that, certainly the one today, he didn't have to do that, LaFell. Did not have to do that. The pass is probably going to get completed.
It worked perfectly because the guy trying to make the tackle was chasing from behind. No. He was never going to get there.
The one against Miami was created solely. It was like a 15-yard catch, a little screen. I think it went for like 15 yards.
Yes.
That was created solely on the fact that the guy that was covering him was completely blitzkrieged but while he was chasing Amendola. That wouldn't have happened had the hit not occurred. Today, I think the catch probably would have been made and probably would have been a similar result.
Oh, I think you would have had a good play.
Yeah.
Tom Brady today, 24 of 37, 234 yards passing. He did have one TD today. His quarterback rating on the day, 91.5. Last week, he was not a happy camper heading to the podium. Let's hear what he had to say this week.
How are you doing, guys?
Sometimes you got to win ugly, huh?
Yeah, we had some opportunities there to score more points and didn't come away with it. So, we left some chances on the field and certainly scoring opportunities, and that's something we're going to have to obviously get a lot better at. So keep working at it.
A game like this, when you see this, is it frustrating or a kind of character test? How do you see it?
It was a tough win. It's a good defensive group. I said earlier in the week, they got a lot of experienced players who have played a lot of football, won a lot of games, won championships, and it was going to be a dogfight. So, we need to do a better job getting the ball in the end zone. Settled for field goals down there on the 1 yard line, and then another play before half where we got other opportunities. So, just got to be able to ultimately score more points, and because we don't, we're going to get beat. So, that's what it came down to.
But they seem to keep showing up here for 3 weeks now. What's the sort of general thought of how much better they are or aren't from the first week to this point?
We're going to try to keep making improvements. Yeah, I don't think anything's perfect out there. There's some teams that are playing really well already, and we're not really doing that offensively yet. Defensively, we played great, but it's a team sport, so. We got to handle our business and do our job, whether it's situationally, whether it's scoring when we need to score, not turning the ball over. It's been good. I think we've done a good job of that. We just got to score more points, especially getting out in the red area and having opportunities to score and not being able to do it. So,
defense playing better than your guys are on offense in those particular
players? I think each play's different. We're not really fair catching them in the end zone. There's some plays that happen every week. We haven't had any of those yet. It's tight throws, tight windows. We got to throw it. Make the plays. So, it's not going to get easy for us. I don't think any team plays us and we get you know, we get their best, but, you know, we got to play a lot better, and we're capable of it. So we just got to go out and practice and try to do it. It starts there.
Is it close on film? Like you talked about last week, the execution, that's a frustrating part. When you go back and you watch it, do these things seem fixable pretty quickly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have first and goal on the 1.5-yard line and settle for a field goal. I mean, that's you just can't do that. And, you know, our execution needs to be a lot better all the way around. We have, you know, yeah.
You haven't felt like you're in rhythm yet at all this year?
No, we haven't. And you know what? We're going to work toward it and see if we can get better at it. You know, defensively, we're playing good. They're limiting the amount of points that are being scored. You know, hopefully we don't turn the ball over. And, you know, we could take advantage of if we get some of those. But, you know, we got to execute better on a consistent basis in order to get the ball in the end zone and score points. So, you know, it's going to be 2-1. I'll tell you, it's starting 0-1. It's going to be 2-1. But obviously there's a lot of room for improvement. And you know, that's why we're going to come in and work hard tomorrow to try to make it right.
When you talk about execution and better than that, it's just that maybe some of these guys aren't going to execute any better or can't execute any better. Is that thought into your mind at some
point? Well, I think we've always gotten better as the season gone on. You know, as players gain more experience in what we're doing, we got some new players, we got, you know, different things that are happening. We're all trying to get used to one another and used to the things we're doing, trying to understand the things we're good at. And then, you know, ultimately the season goes, you work on the things that haven't been going well, you try to stay, you know, real, you know, ahead of the things that you are doing really well at. And, you know, then at the end of the year, you're, you know, in a position to hopefully make the playoffs and you know, do those types of things. But, you know, right now we're building our team. We're trying to make improvements. It hasn't all gone right. You know, it doesn't go right when we have penalties or turnovers or negative runs or, you know, that's, we just got to do our assignment. We got to do our job. We got to do it better. And ultimately that's going to lead to more scoring.
Tom, you pretty much have a track record at this stage of the game. So I'm guessing it's not really the quarterback's fault that the offense has scored 2 scoring drives in 10 quarters. What's your assessment of why you're not going to ball the end zone more often?
They're all different drives and they're different plays. And I think, you know, you're right. Our red air hasn't been very good. You know, we got to try to run it in. If we can't run it in, we got to hit the tight throws, make the tight plays. I mean, we had plenty of opportunities today and didn't do it. So try to get to work on it this week. I mean, it's not one person. It's not one thing. It's everybody doing a better job because, you know, it's you know, it's tough to get in. There's a lot of bodies down there. We got to make the right plays, and the execution has to be at a high level in order to get the ball in there.
What's different when you traditionally throughout your career? Gotten it in pretty consistently.
It's only 3 games in, so I mean, we got a long season ahead of us. There's a lot of football to play, so you know, we haven't done a lot of good things offensively. Period. I think you know, if you want to settle on a red area, I'd settle on everything. So certainly the pass game, the run game, penalties. But you know what? We're 2-1, so I think we can make the improvements and understand. You know, like I said, we're trying to build something, but we got to improve everything. That's the stage we're at.
Last question.
Tom, you were hit a few times today, and there was a change of centre. How do you assess how your offensive line's doing so far? I know there's people missing and things like that.
Yeah, they played hard. I think we tried to go a little faster and wear them down a little bit, and I thought we did a decent job of that. Those guys are playing hard. You know, they're working hard to do the right thing and make improvements. And I mean, it's a physical game, so that's what we train for. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom. It's Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback at the podium after today's game. Well, he sounded chipper today, Andy, so I guess all must be well with Tom Brady.
Sure.
Now this week when I talk about Tom Brady.
I don't know what you guys are going to talk about for the 4 hours, 5 days a week this week. Somebody should have told him 2-1 and in first place. That's
2-1
I would
have in first place. he couldn't say we're going to continue with the phone calls, continue with some emails. I want to touch on one of the questions and answers that was provided during that Tom Brady press conference. We'll do that coming up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
We talked about execution and that it's just that maybe some of these guys aren't going to execute any better, or can't execute any better. Is that thought into your mind?
Well, I think we've always gotten better as the season gone on. As players gain more experience in what we're doing, we got some new players, we got, different things that are happening. We're all trying to get used to one another and used to the things we're doing, trying to understand the things we're good at, and then and ultimately, the season goes. You work on the things that haven't been going well. You try to stay, ahead of the things that you are doing really well at. And then at the end of the year, you're in a position to hopefully make the playoffs and you know, do those types of things. But, you know, right now we're building our team. We're trying to make improvements. It hasn't all gone right. You know, it doesn't go right when we have penalties or turnovers or negative runs or, you know, that's, we just got to do our assignment. We got to do our job. We got to do it better. And ultimately, that's going to lead to more scoring.
The question there coming from Ron Borges about, can these guys execute better? Can your offensive line block better? Do they, and he's hinting at, do they have the talent to go out and execute better and be better players? Paul, I think this is going to be a very important question for this team going forward. With the guys they have, is it a matter of just the coaching of the offensive line? Some people have mentioned already in this post-game show, Dante Scarnecchia, can he come back? Can he coach these guys? Is it a coaching issue? Or at the end of the day, even with great coaching, is it going to come down to there being a lack of talent up front for
this
team?
Well, this is what I alluded to earlier, I think, when was it Alex or Michelle? One of them put it all on Googe. And I'm not willing to just dismiss that as an element. Coaching, communication. Nate Solder was our guest earlier in the show, and he mentioned there were some communication issues. I don't know enough about all of the schemes and blocking assignments and whatnot to know how much it's coaching. But what I'm seeing is a lot of guys getting beat in matchups. I saw this going back to the practice field when we were down in Richmond, when they went up against the Redskins, the one-on-ones. The Ryan Kerrigans and Brian Arakbos of the world were winning them. Against Philadelphia here in Foxborough, they were losing the one-on-one matchups, and that's been a continuing theme to me. I fear that there is a talent problem along the offensive line. I don't think Jordan Devey is good enough. Marcus Cannon, to me, does not look good enough as a guard. I think Dan Conley is fine, but I'm not sure that you have enough to solve this problem. I'm not sure you have enough ability to solve this problem. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I think it's something that you wonder, well, what if they realize that it is a talent thing? What if the coaching staff comes to that conclusion?
We trade Tim Wright to Tampa Bay for Logan Mankins?
Well, could you ever envision there being a trade? Could you ever imagine the team trading for an offensive lineman? I can't picture them doing it.
I could absolutely see them making a trade. They've made a lot of trades. More so, I think they've made more trades than any other team in football in the Belichick era. Mm-hmm. Player trades, not just draft trades. I'm talking about player trades, deadline deals. I'm not going to sit here and try to predict.
They went and got Aqib Talib. It was their biggest need. They went and got the Samoan last year. It was their biggest need. They were getting run.
Isaac Sopoanga.
2 years in a row, their biggest need, they addressed. So if you deem their biggest need this year to be the offensive line, I don't think it's a stretch to say they could go trade for an offensive line.
And I'm not going to sit here and pick out an offensive lineman who may be available, who could help.
It would seem to be the least likely given their trend of developing offensive linemen. But based on their trade history, I certainly wouldn't rule it out.
Email from...
Who you got, Paul? Boone.
Well, I think he's happy now, right?
Oh, he's happy
He's
now.
Got his money. As Seattle with a big touchdown, by the way, late in the half.
By the way, I need to read an email, Paul. Hold on here. Jacob in Denmark writes in, Paul.
Jacob.
Please stop calling the plays from the Denver-Seattle game. My TV is 5 seconds behind your feed, so stop it.
Well, that one I didn't call, just so you know. That happened a long time ago.
Well, don't do that.
But I will stop doing that.
You're ruining the game.
For Sven.
For Jacob.
Oh,
Jacob. Hey, I thought this was interesting. I was just kind of flicking through the Dennis Allen transcript.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the coach of the Raiders.
Yeah. Is he still the coach of the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, that could be in question.
He was asked flat out after his opening remarks. First question, did you think it was a hold on Gabe Jackson on the potential game-tying touchdown? I did not. Have you guys had a chance to look at that again? I saw it up on the big screen. In my opinion, it was not a hold. So, you know, that's a little different than, we'll have to take a look at that.
Well, Bill kind of said it, I believe.
Oh, if you have any way of any common sense at all, you know that Bill thought the Logan Ryan pass interference was horse bleep.
Well, I thought he said that. Didn't he? The guy follow up with, you didn't get a good look at it?
He goes, no, I got a good look at it.
I just,
I forget how he said it.
He kind of said it was a horse poo call.
Oh, yeah, no, like I said, if you have any common sense, you know that he disagreed with the call.
But neither guy is criticizing the official, right? You can say the call, you didn't agree with it, right?
Right.
And not get in trouble.
I think that Dennis Allen might get in trouble for that.
For saying he doesn't agree with the call? You can't have a difference of opinion? You didn't say it sucked. You didn't say they blew it. He just said, I did not believe it was a hold.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So you can.
Yeah, we'll have to take.
I said something bad, so you can punch your wife, but you can't question a call.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look at that DPI call. I'm not sure about that one, but we'll have to take a hard look at that. And then the follow-up, I had a good look at it. I just say I don't know about that one. So he didn't say it was a bad call. Dennis Allen saying it was
but
a bad call.
But he's disagreeing with it.
But again,
I don't
you
know
have
about
any,
that one.
If
I don't
you,
know about that one.
If you have any common sense, you know that
he thought it was a horse poo call.
And I thought, frankly, he's right. I thought it was a ticky-tack call.
Frankly.
Let's go to John in Maine.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
John,
go ahead.
I thought
that
was a ticky-tack call.
Hey, guys, I just want to – I'm an optimist, and I just want to predict that I think Brandon Bolden is going to put the team on his back and play the Super Bowl.
Good for you.
That's a good call
good
right there.
Good sense of humor. I like it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the call.
He had another big day, right? In the kicking game, he must have done something really important.
He must have.
I charted him at 16 snaps, Andy, on special teams.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, better than the team. I'm going to keep saying that every week. Better than the team.
You know what? A win is a win, I guess. But how do we get better? I went to watch the game at obviously at a bar where they were showing the Eagles against Redskins, so I couldn't really see the images of the of our game because obviously the noise was way too loud. But how come that victory feels like a loss? I mean, are we? I mean, Brady keeps on getting killed.
Yeah, you watch Brady get banged around. You watch your defense not be great against a young quarterback. Your offensive line sucked. Your receivers continued to be out of sorts. You didn't score a lot of points. You didn't run the ball overly well against a team that had been giving up an average of 200 yards per game. Yeah, there was not a lot good.
First place. Is the island finally sinking? Does it become an archipelago at this point?
Yeah, that. I've been underimpressed with Darrell Revis dating back to the preseason, dating back to the practice field, and dating back to week one, week two, and week three.
And before we get under attack,
I don't
care.
Bring it on.
No, but I just want to say there's a grading curve here. You know, this is Darrell Revis. This is not Kyle Arrington or Logan Ryan where you say, well, they competed. They knocked down some passes. This is a guy I'm expecting to completely take out a guy that he's covering.
Well,
and that has not been the case.
One of the things we've talked about
certainly wasn't today.
After this game is this team and some of its players living on their reputations. Is Darrell Revis at this point in his career living on his reputation of what he was in Rex Ryan's defense with the New York Jets? We're going back three seasons and beyond ago.
Yes. Right now, Darrell Revis is not the most dominant shutdown corner in the game. He's not the best, and that's what he was.
And I don't believe he was with that with Tampa Bay.
I can't comment on Tampa Bay. Well, I didn't watch every snap. I have watched every snap.
Lazy, bad journalism.
Every single snap he has played this summer on the practice field and on the preseason field and on the game field, and he's not the best corner in football.
He's
sorry.
He's not dominated. And going back to the preseason, not even the preseason, the training camp practices that we got to see, I saw flashes of dominance mixed in with flashes of indifference. And I'm wondering...
Yeah, but his flashes of dominance came against this receiving corps.
Well, we said that, too.
Yeah.
You and I had talked about that. You know,
talking out of both sides of my mouth.
The secondary was dominant at more often than not at practice. But does that mean that secondary is dominant or that this passing game is not very good? Because in practice, generally, the offense wins.
Yes.
When you can't get to the quarterback, usually the passes are all getting complete. And that wasn't the case this summer, and it certainly hasn't been, you know, as the leaves have begun to turn here in Foxborough.
The offense
is
not.
The autumn wind is a raider.
The wind blows, and so does the Patriots' passing attack.
Funny.
Alex in Chicago. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. I'm going to agree with almost everything you guys are saying about the defense. I feel like ever since Brewski and Harrison retired, the defense had just basically been riding the offense's back.
Yes.
And Darrell Revis just living on his reputation. We should be comparing him to a Richard Sherman or Patrick Peterson.
Well put. That's what I'm talking about.
He's just, I don't want to say it, but he's almost washed up. I love him. I love the Patriots, everything about him, but the defense has just been on a decline for the past 5 years.
So you think whatever Revis is right now, however he's played, it's sort of insurmountable? He's just not that good?
Yeah. 3 years ago when he was with the Jets, even with the Buccaneers, I mean, that was Revis. That's Revis Island. I mean, that's where he made it. Now with the Patriots, I mean, it's just people laugh at it.
But do we question his usage? Because they've certainly moved him around. They've had him in man. They've had him in zone. Do we say maybe they're not using him in a position to do his best, sort of like we think Rex Ryan put him in that position?
Well, that could be the case, honestly. I guess we'd have to ask Darrell Revis what he thinks.
Well, he's never going to tell us either. He might tell us once he leaves, but he's never going to tell us while he's still here that Bill Belichick is misusing me. He won't say that. Nor should he. He's a good teammate. He's a good, you know, follow the leader kind of guy, I think. But the bottom line is, you signed a guy for $16 million a year to be one of the top two or three best corners in football and be, as my boss, Fred Kirsch, calls it, a transformational player who is going to transform this defense into an elite unit. He hasn't.
Are you done? Is that the end of your thought?
It felt like the end of a sentence.
I don't know with you, because you say something and then you keep talking. So
well,
for the
but
one
when
time
I don't keep talking, it means I'm done talking.
You have this look on your face.
I gotta jump ships on you.
And I was looking right at him when I stopped.
God, I can't wait for this day to be over.
Gonna call any more callers? What? You know what? Andrew's up next. Andre!
Beto, I agree with you.
You need to finish people's names when you say it.
Why? Who did I miss?
Alec.
And I had to go...
You said Alex in Chicago.
Oh, it said Alec.
Oh, it's Alec. Alec is in Chicago. So his name was Alec.
Alec.
Is Alex. In Chicago. Oh, you! I
it
thought
sounded
you said
like you
Alex
said Alex in Chicago.
Chicago. Well, guess what, Andy? You were wrong.
I don't think I was.
That's
Paul
what
heard
it sounded
the same
like
thing.
You're wrong.
So he needs to enunciate better. Alex in Chicago is what you said.
Anyway,
Alec A L E C.
Poor Oakland heading
the
out,
jackass.
Heading out to London with Tyvon Branch left the game today. Rod Streeter left the game. Dennis Allen says, looks like both of them have fractured foot.
Oh.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Streeter came back in a boot. He had the crutches, the whole deal. He looked like
in Streeter clothes.
He was, a lot of tension on this post-game show.
No tension for me.
Yeah, none for me either.
Snowman's in Maine. Time for one more call here on the show. What's up, Snowman?
Hey, man, I got a couple concerns.
Yeah, your phone sucks, but
everyone,
how far you are from your phone.
Yeah. Snowman, talk louder.
Talk into the phone.
Hello.
There we
go.
Much
better. There we go. Much better.
Yeah, everyone's whining about the defense. The defense has only allowed 23 points in the last two games.
Nobody's whining about the defense.
The Vikings and the Raiders, but still, 23 points, two games, I'll take that any day.
Nobody's whining about
dominant.
Nobody's whining about the defense.
Won't have a single problem against Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck or Philip Rivers.
I'll just take an NFL player. That's all.
Oh, I mean, Derek Carr might be a good player.
He might be someday, but he's playing his third game and he's not ready for that yet.
Yeah, it's not all that different from a year ago. When the defense,
exactly.
No, but the defense was far more impressive a year ago, I thought. I don't think this defense has made all these plays. I thought the defense was more impressive a year ago. I really did. And they started the same thing. It was against guys, you know, Matt Castle, who'll be out of the league. It's a young quarterback.
I didn't think it was much
different. You're not impressed by anything.
You thought it was much more impressive last year when Geno Smith was throwing the ball as opposed to Matt Castle throwing the ball?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I just remember. I don't remember specifics. I was more impressed last year than I am right now. It could be a Revis thing because I didn't assume Tlaib would be very, very good, and he was very, very good. I assumed Revis, like the Patriots.
I will say that.
I'm holding Revis's resume against him like the Patriots. I expect the Patriots to be much better. I expect Revis to be much better.
Tlaib played better the first half of last year than Revis has thus far.
That just about does it for us here on the Xbox One post-game show on Patriots.com. Patriots win today. They are now 2-1.
First place.
After winning their home opener against the Oakland Raiders.
First place and well on their way. They're in second place?
Next week. Yes. In week number 4.
Who is?
Buffalo's 2-1 with a better division record. 1-0
to your 0-1. They're in first place and well on their way to another playoff team.
The Patriots in week number 4 will take on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Everything but Patriots, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Week number 4, they take on the Kansas City Chiefs. You can hear the pre- and post-game programming right back here on Patriots.com. And, of course, you can hear live programming throughout the week here on Patriots.com radio, including PFW in progress if you can handle more Andy, which I don't know how you could. Noon to 2. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right here on Patriots.com. I won't be listening to that, so you guys are on your own for that one. I've had enough of this guy today. All right, we'll talk to you next week in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social as we get ready for Monday Night Football against the Chiefs.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Monday, the Patriots are in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 8:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.